I finished writing this up this song when I was in West Virginia, and I sung it up there, so I'm going to sing it for you down here. We've traveled many miles in this life, God's word being our guiding light, arriving home in the body of Christ. Join together, sing further with our hearts than with our eyes. Oh, and the heart is a house for love, and we've moved into our home from above, where joy and peace forever reign, as we've entered into eternity. We're inside this house with saints gone on, made perfect by our marriage of flesh and bone. Now, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Rejoicing as we take our heavenly flight, meeting Jesus in the air as his glorified wife. Oh, and a heart is a house for love, and we've moved into our home from above, where joy and peace forever reign, as we've entered into eternity. We're inside this house with saints gone on, made perfect by our marriage of flesh and bone. Now, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Rejoicing as we take our heavenly flight, meeting Jesus in the air as his glorified wife. Oh, and the heart is a house for love, and we've moved into our home from above, where joy and peace forever reign, as we've entered into eternity. Oh, and the heart is a house for love, and we've moved into our home from above, where joy and peace forever reign, as we've entered into eternity. Oh, and the heart is a house for love, and we've moved into our home from above. With the King of Peace will forever reign, as we've entered into eternity. As we've entered into eternity. As this mortal takes on immortality, we'll be together for eternity. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Amen. That's a good song there. Thank God for his wonderful word and the wonderful manifested word. That's his people say. The manifested word. Amen. Just like Jesus. See, the word was manifested. And so that's, and we're made part of the whole arrangement. See? Amen. So today we're reading in the Word of God in, two or three places here, to start with. And as we usually do, we look for inspiration to quicken different scriptures that we haven't previously thought about. Amen. I remember the stunned look on the face of the folks there over in Zimbabwe. Way out in a little area, we had to travel a good bit to get there in the little place. We back in the backwoods kind of, and I took a message receiving that which was previously, which was obtaining that which was previously unattainable. It's on the, it's on the tape, on the video and tape. And one of the brothers got up and he said, I believe that heaven has come down. And it felt like it. I tell you it did. Amen. And, that's, kind of what Paul said in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Amen. Heaven's come down. We've come right into it. Where the spirits of just men are made perfect. And, you know, where the angels at. And in other words, we came into a spiritual environment. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 that we're made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So that's what we're in when in Christ Jesus as he has come and make himself known. All right. Today, I want to take a little thought and I'll explain. You might not catch the title good just at up front or at first, but I'll explain it. I have to tell you my title and we'll have prayer and then we'll start from there. And I believe it's going to bless you and make sense. Amen. I want to take a thought first of all. My thought will be choosing the time and place to defeat your last to defeat death, your last enemy. Choosing the time and place to defeat death, your last enemy. And now time is not a certain and a place. It's in the Word. It's the timing of the Word and et cetera. So I'm saying that so that you won't think you go to a certain place to do it. You do in the Word, but not a natural place. So let's pray before reading. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come at the opening of Thy Word, and Lord, I love what Your great servant Paul said, that our sufficiency is of Thee, and may we always look to You, Lord, and may we always realize anything that we say to benefit Your people. The sufficiency, the ability, the anointing comes from Thee. And I just pray now as we commit ourselves to You and help us to do all Thy bidding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to begin reading today in 1 Corinthians for the first chapter. And I'm going to read verse 26 just to get the wording there of death. And then I want to go to Philippians 1:20-26 to get the choosing. Because I'm using a word here that may sound like it's out of place when I say choosing the time. Amen. That may sound like it's out of place. But Paul chose certain time. I remember a lady came to Brother Branham once. She had a vision, a dream. She says, Brother Branham, I saw a dark shadow following you. And Brother Branham say, I know it, sister. I know he's there. Says, but he can't touch me till the time, you know. Amen. So God, he lets us know a few things, doesn't he? So the scripture I want to read first, and then you might hold your place there in or put your marker there in 1 Corinthians 15, because we're going to be coming back to it. But verse 26 says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And of course, this takes it all the way through the millennia, you know, starting takes it all the way through the millennia. But there's a people, we which are alive and remain, that overcomes death. Now I want to go to Philippians And I'll be coming back to the same chapter momentarily. But I want to go to Philippians, the first chapter. Because here Paul says some things. And I want to say this to you this morning. Some people say Paul kind of talk out of both corners of his mouth. Well, that's carnality, see. Amen. Because he's preparing to die and all this, and yet he's saying, we which are alive and remain. But one part is prophecy. Another part was being applied in the day that he was living. And there's no contradiction. There's nothing out of line. And he weren't speaking out of both sides of his mouth, we'd say. Amen. He was just speaking timely word for that time period. Amen. So I'm reading here in Philippians, and the reason I want to read this, he is talking about going on and choosing. I want to show you that he chose to stay rather than go on and get his reward at that time, see. In other words, he was choosing the time. He saw a need, and he saw that it wouldn't be good if I up and left the people right now. So it's better for me to abide. It seems he had God brought him into a place where he could see the other side, and he desired. He was called in third heaven. Remember that, see? So he knew a bit about what's across the river, we would say. And he wanted to bring the people up with him, and he saw they weren't quite ready for what he had in mind, see? Now, so I'm going to pick up in verse 20 here of Philippians chapter 1. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. If you're on the word, you don't have to be ashamed. I thank God for that. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also in Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. In other words, Christ is going to be glorified in our bodies. That's why we present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. Christ is magnified in my body, he says. And that has to do with our part of the Christianity. That has to do with our part of arrangement. That's why he said, bring your mind captivity and so on. Present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. See, that then Christ is magnified in your body, see. And then he goes on, verse 21. He says, for me to live is Christ. And so Christ, I'm going to magnify just Christ. He stood in Christ's stead. And to die is gain. Now here, he's talking about death. That was in that hour. To die is gain. That would be something he'd done been over there. And I'm sure that many times he got homesick for heaven. Like the old timers used to sing, I'm homesick for heaven, I'm longing to go. But they were talking about going by the way of death. Amen. And that was timely for their time period. But right here at the end time, he's giving different promises, bringing the promise on up to a time where actually what Paul preached and taught will be fulfilled, that there's a people that alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. They are not going to die. Amen. And so that's where we get in our title, choosing death. But let's get another verse here, verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. He was bearing fruit. I could say more about that, but if I do, it will detain me from saying something. He says, yet what I shall choose, I will not. Now, I want you to notice that word choose. Yet what I shall choose. And very few people in this position has been given a chance to choose. But God knew he would make the right choice. And he knew he would make a choice based upon the need, based upon his love for the church, based upon what was going on, and he saw the people was growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Fact is, he says, your grace, your faith is growing exceedingly. See? So he knew that it would be like pulling a green apple or a green peach here in Georgia, the Peach State. Nothing tastes better than a good, juicy, ripe apple or peach. Amen, either one, but peach more so. Juicy peach. Amen. But if you pull it green, it's not tasty at all. And your mouth will probably draw from some bitterness in there. So Paul was looking at a situation, and he had time was connected with it. So that's where we're kind of choosing the time and place to defeat our last enemy. And I'll tell you a little dream I had, and it'll help put this more in perspective. But first, let's get this. So he was given a choice. I don't know what I should choose. I will not. But then watch what he said after this verse of scripture. It would be in verse 23. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two. And there's times, I suppose, in our lives where we are in a strait betwixt two. Oh, the battle's been rough. The battle's been hard. And I'm worn quite a bit. And I know there's something over on the other side of the fence. Now, see, Paul knew more than we do. I've never been over there and see what was going on. But whatever it was over there, I'm talking in the spirit, it was something that had an impact on Paul that he was drawing, that when he compared this life with what he saw, amen, you could say there's no comparison. It was so great. So he says, he's looking at the church here, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ. That's in a more literal sense, which is far better. See, for him it's far better. But watch his choosing. Sometimes God gives us choices, and he knows we'll make the right choices. Amen. And he gives us a chance to make choices. Oh, to see what Paul saw on the other side, compare it with our struggles here in this world, the pain. Most of us, when you get as old as I am, you're going to have some pain. You're going to have some struggles, and you're going to have some frustrations, and those things begin to come along with age. So naturally, it would be more, you'd have a tendency more to look for something over on the other side. Not that we are not enjoying being here, but God gives us another promise, see. Amen. Now, we're not staying here with Paul. In Paul's day, he made the right choice. He made the right decision. He looked at the right thing. And he's saying, I'm in a twix. I'm going to read that verse 23 again. I don't want to tarry too long, because if I do, I'm going to have to move faster on something. Yeah. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Watch now. Nevertheless. I love that word, don't you? In other words, nevertheless. Now, that's what's good for me. I could get out from under all this. And he was carrying a lot of burdens there. Amen. As a church on him and so on. And God just let him, at the time, he had the feeling he could go or he could stay. And that feeling don't come to a lot of people. And I personally I wouldn't want that feeling probably myself, to whether I could go or stay. Knowing if I went, oh, how great it would be. But if I stayed here, see, I have to keep fighting the battle. Amen. But we've entered into the rest. See, Paul, he if you'll read some of the things he went through, you'd see and it would be clearly understood why he would speak like this and look at things like this. He was whipped many times, 39 times, or 40 times, save one, as the Jews prefer to say. And he was cast out of the city and stoned to death and called blasphemer and on and went to one place there. And he said, no man stood with me. And then only the Lord stood with me. And then on another place he named two or three brothers. Only they were with me. And it was quite a struggle ordained of God to be thus. Amen. So here he got to the place where God evidently, he felt that he had the ability to make the choice. It's far better for me to go. Verse 24 says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Amen. It's more needful for who? You. To me, that would get rid of all my burden. That would give me that crown of life that's laid up for me. That would give me everything that man ever desired. But, nevertheless, we could say nevertheless, he used that there. Nevertheless. In other words, yours, he weren't putting himself first in what he, that's a good thing about a Christian. They don't normally put themselves first. And they don't usually do what's best for them unless it's best for the body of Christ, see? Can you see this here? Nevertheless, it is more needful for you that I stay. Amen. Now, that settled the score right there. He didn't have to think about it anymore. Now, that right there, that's a preacher right there now. You talk about a preacher. You talk about somebody presenting Christ. Amen. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not me living, but Christ is living in me. And this is nothing more than Christ talking through Paul. Can you say amen? Amen. Yes, I'd love to go. I've been there. I've been there and seen it. He said, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. I've been over there. And he brought back some of the things, but he said, some of these things I'm not going to tell you. It's not even, wouldn't be profitable. King James says lawful. You could word it how do you want to word it there. But he says, he began to tell us some of the good things. Amen. But whatever he said, it was so good that he never could rest good till he just kept thinking about what's over the hill. But then he looked around him and said, I don't want to go without them going. Now, wait a minute here. That's Christ talking. See, the Bible says he overcame death there in the garden when he prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood, just like Melchizedek did over Christ did in Melchizedek. Melchizedek's overcome death for us in this end time that we can look at death and know that it can't ultimately get power over us. Amen, that we can overcome death, see. That's the hour. But it's got to be in time, in season. So Paul, right there, he was looking, he knew if he went on, what's going to happen to the little ones? The way he was looking at it. What's going to happen to the engaged virgin? He had said over in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, he began to tell them, you're engaged to Christ. I've engaged you to one husband that I may present you to one husband. And, but then he said this. He said, but I fear. In places I fear lest as Satan, as the serpent beguile Eve, your mind will be beguiled from the what? Simplicity of the gospel. They're going to make it complicated, make it so complicated. And around here, they used to say Philadelphia lawyer. That's back. That phase developed down here in the South when up in Philadelphia, they was already more cultured. And a lawyer from up there, that was a lawyer, knew what he was doing. Down here, we were counted less cultured. So they would say, talk about a Philadelphia lawyer, see. In other words, he's... Paul here, he knows what he's doing. Say, amen. And Paul said, these things I preach is in simplicity. Amen. And that's what the gospel is now, always has been. The theologian is the one fixed, so it take a Philadelphia lawyer figure it out, see. Amen. What is more simple than what we're reading today? There could be nothing more simpler. We're in the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, because He is the revealer. Amen. So I wanted to get that part in. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful. And having this confidence. See, he knew what he was doing. He weren't guessing here. I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and your joy and your faith. Amen. I believe I'll read the next verse. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. See. Amen. I'm coming again. And here he's saying, I want you, having confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and faith. Now, what this was, here was a man born of a woman, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, but had a new birth, see. He got a new gene pool. Amen. His genes, you didn't trace them back to his father or mother, because that isn't said very much about in the Bible, about Paul, his lineage and et cetera, et cetera. But he had one, his main lineage was from Christ. His new birth, he got a new start. He was born not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible Word of God. And he got a new set of genes. Amen. And he got a blood purifier in him, the Spirit of God. Amen. To purify and to dehybrid all the fallen nature, the serpent nature, the carnal thinking. Amen. And he had to do it himself so he could tell us, cast down imagination, bring your mind in captivity to the law of Christ, and that is a must for us as long as we're in this human flesh. Say amen, somebody. Praise God. So here Paul, he chose that. Now, that was the proper decision in every way. Amen. But when you come over, there was another part of his ministry, was a prophetic part. And it takes us to another time, another period. Amen. And what he said there was 100% correct. Amen. He God let him get so inspired that when he was speaking, he did just like the prophets. And many people don't understand it, but the spiritual does. See, like John. When he says, I saw a great white throne judgment, that's over after it hadn't took place yet. But God picked him up and let him see it. And not that he was there in time, but he was there in the revelation. It would be in God's timing, we would say. That would have been 3,000 years out in the future. Amen. Be 2,000 for the church age, another 1,000. Yet he described in minute details what would be. Well, Paul, the same with him, when he entered into that prophetic utterance, and he prayed for us that prophetic utterance would be given to us. See? Oh, thank you, Paul. If I criticize you a little from time to time, I know that you just wink at my ignorance and you know that how I appreciate what you did for us, see. Amen. And maybe my lack of understanding or something, but when I get a good look at it from the Scripture, I can only say, He doeth all things well. Amen. So let's go to, back to my original Scripture here. And that was in 2 Corinthians. We have been dealing with Melchizedek and so on. And those messages will be a necessity to take and continue with this. The message we had before that was Jesus came and introduced a ministry speaking by inspiration. See, he introduced that ministry that you speak by inspiration. And when he came, he did that. When Paul came, that's 2 Corinthians. It's chapter 15. First Corinthians. I just mistold you that. You knew it anyway, didn't you? Amen. That's just a human part of this year. Amen. Aren't you glad that you ain't talking to someone or listening to someone that's a spirit and someone that don't make the mistakes, that don't tell? No, we're human, just like Paul was. Amen. If we make a little mistake, we can correct it. And we're not up here to try to say everything right. We won't do it the best of our ability, without putting ourselves in a straitjacket to talk like a theologian, see? Amen. I'd rather miss it once in a while, miss telling you where the scripture at, than to have it wrote down and reading it off, see? I said this the other week, and Barbara checked me out, and I was glad she did. Jacob was telling his brethren, or his sons rather, 12 sons, where they would be, what they would be. That's in Genesis 49. He said to one of them, you shall dip your feet in oil. Well, I said, I'm going to see which one it was. And I read it and it weren't there. I said, man, but what happened was, there in Deuteronomy, I believe Deuteronomy 33, where Moses telling some of the things that happened to each one. He said, what was the name of that one? Asher. Asher shall dip his feet in oil. So I was right. I was right and wrong at the same time. Hey, that's pretty good, isn't it? To be right and wrong at the same time. I was just the wrong chapter, but that was right. So somewhere over in the Middle East there, I think Israel will probably come and do some oil somewhere down the line. Now, I know they got the olive oil, and I'm not necessarily think that he was to dip his toes or dip his feet in a pan of olive oil. So I don't know if that would do a lot of good or not, But it might help him some way. But the point is, I told you where it was found. I said there in Genesis 49, and I'm sure some of you read it, and that's good. I like that. But then I like for you to come and say, hey, I read that chapter you said and I didn't find it. Hey, well, if you don't, then let's find it. Because a lot of times I'll read, and I've got some other different translations too, that I might say it here or there, and it might be the wrong chapter. But see, that's what I like about being a human. And that's what I like about preaching to humans. Amen. And that's what I like about the way the Bible came, the way God came, brought it all the way through. And so if you won't ever criticize me for doing it, and that'd be fine. But there was a prophet came to Hezekiah, wasn't it? Who was that God expended the life for 15 years? Was it Hezekiah? Hezekiah? Okay. The prophet came, said, look here, set your house in order, for you're fixing to go home. God is going to take you home just as sure as 2 and 2 is 4. And those weren't the exact words, but the prophet, oh, Lord, I've tried to do what's right. I know I've made my mistakes and all, but I've tried to be upright. He turned his face to the wall and began to pray before that prophet got out of the yard. God told him, so you go back and tell him I'm going to add 15 more years. The prophet could say, wait a minute, Lord, I don't want to go back. I just told him that, and he's the king. If I go back and tell him this, he'll have to cut my head off. But God said, I'm going to add 15 years to his life. Amen. Did God change his mind? No, God just knew. God just knew, and it probably wouldn't shake him up a little bit, too. Sometimes we got to get shook up a little bit, don't we? And it helps us. And the Bible says he turned his face to the wall and began to pray. He might not have with all his his natural responsibility is, and he might have pushed it back on the back burner. I got to pray, but I really got to do this first. No, God said, you pray now, because you're going home now. You get everything in order. But when he set his face to pray, that's when the prophet turned around, and God told him, amen. Did God change his mind? He changed his word from what he told him there, but he knew in his mind what he was going to do to begin with. So God's word stayed original. Amen. So we get here talking about the overcoming our last enemy. Now, there's a message that God has given us, and this would be two sermons that I'm going to kind of compact this together just a bit. There's a message, and we all know without going through again, the Lord himself shall descend in heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. So the two parts have already passed and gone. But he tells us when. And he tells us what time it will come to being that we can release our faith now to believe God that we'll be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. Amen. We choose the time when we see what's going on, what God has fulfilled, where God has brought us, then our faith is so sure and steadfast. We have a hope that's sure and steadfast. That was that scripture. We have a faith that's so sure and steadfast that it's unmovable. Amen. And he said, be unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. Amen. So the point is, there comes a time when there is a basis for faith, for everything that God has promised in the day and hour we're living in. Amen. There was a basis for what Paul said. I am sure glad that Paul didn't take the way to heaven to start with that. You know why? Because after this, Paul was put in prison, and he wrote, and I didn't get all those dates there exactly what year he was saying in, but the thing is, he gave us a lot of goodies that we would be like a ship without a sail out here floating around in the ocean, hoping somewhere that the right wind would blow the right way to blow us into the right port. But no. Amen. We got solid word on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking stand. And when all around me gives way, he is still my hope and stay. See, he put us in the Word and made us part of it. The reason we can know what took place way back there, amen, because we're part of it. Amen. The same Spirit we got is the same Spirit that heard what Lucifer said there about, I'm going to lift my throne up and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and so on above the stars. And now he brought it on down through a prophet, the same anointing of Christ on down. Amen. And it didn't stop here. It took us all the way from after Paul died. 30 years later, there was a man that was a prophecy on his head. See, where's that prophecy? It's in John 22, when Peter was there with the Jesus and disciples on the shore there, and Jesus began to say certain one would do certain things to Peter. He said, feed my sheep. And then Jesus said, lovest thou me more than they feed my sheep? Okay. Peter said, yea, Lord. He said again, lovest thou me more than lovest thee? Feed my sheep. And then Jesus said it again, lovest thou me more than these? Then he said, feed my lambs, these little ones. Take care of them too. Don't leave them out. And Peter almost got angry with the Lord. You know, I told you, Lord, I love you. How come you keep on asking me? And said, beside, you're so quick to tell me what to do, Lord. And see, Peter argues with the Lord, did on the housetop, he did back there. So that's Peter. I like old Peter with his nature, see. But he's a little fiery. If I was here and Peter was here still in the flesh, I would be rather careful not to rub him the wrong way too much. Amen. Amen. But then Peter said, now, Lord, you so quick, tell me what is this man to do right here? Pointing to John. How many knows what he said? Somebody tell me what he said. What is that to thee if I will that he stays here till he come? Okay. Well, he did stay there till he saw the coming of the Lord. Paul passed away. He said, you're going to get old and you're going to have somebody to help you around, you know, and you know the story there. Amen. But on the Isle of Patmos, Paul done dead 30 years. He brought all that he needed to brought there for the wife to get her lined up. And now here the prophetic part come. And something that wouldn't be profitable in the days of Paul. Now in the days of Paul said, wash the spots out of your garments. See, but John saw people that didn't have to wash spots out, that was clothed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the Lord, that never did have any spots in the garment. Amen. That's the, and he called it, the Lamb's wife has made herself ready, and to her, and to her alone, of course, it is granted that she should be clothed in fine linen. That's his right. That's becoming a very part of him. That's those that eat the little book and become part of that in Revelation 10. All right, so we're reading here, and I want to show you there's two things the trumpet message brings that overshadows the trumpet message. One is the resurrection of the dead. When the trumpet message is on the scene, then that's the time that the dead will raise. And I'm not talking about some crazy stuff. Amen. Like a man came here just a few weeks back. Maybe a month. How long been, Barb? A month? 2 months? Something like that? A couple of months or so, maybe. Came, knocked on the door, went to the door. I knew him. He said, how you doing? Well, actually, he looked like he's changed. I hadn't saw him lately. So his hair began to get gray and stuff. And I said, yes. He said, I thought just come by and see how you're doing. I said, well, I'm doing pretty well. And so he came in. He said, I'm Johnny. Oh, did I say that? Strike that one. Well, I'm not going to. And he says, come on in, sit down. And he sat there a while, and I knew he was going to try to talk to me about something because he was a little bit fidgety. But finally, he began to talk to me about the son that's lost. He's been out in the Spirit getting them, bringing them back in that died before they accept the Lord and all that. And a certain person that come and said, this person told me if I ever need anything, just let him know, he'd give it to him. And on like that, you know. But he said, but reason I'm here, I go where he says go and do what he says do. And I shouldn't be telling this, but be like one of them things, you can mark this one off if you like. Amen. But he said, it might help somebody though, who knows? Because this trumpet message began to deal with the dead. But see, Satan won't throw a lot of stuff out to cause people to say, hey, them people are going off on the deep end. Well, he says, Joyce sent me by to ask you how you're doing. And see, Joyce died in 95. Doug, you came to England over and you taped the thing here. Joyce sent me by to see how you were doing. Yeah, and he was here when I preached, when Joyce died. And I better hush because I don't want this person to... Sometimes people stumble a little and get out of the way a little bit, so I don't want to put a bad hand on somebody like that. So God's mercy is able to pick us up, and how many knows that? He said, Joyce sent me by to see how you were doing. And, of course... at first, I thought he was just trying to josh with me a little bit, and I thought, this is not something to josh about. And then I realized, this man is dead serious here. He says, Joyce wanted to know how you're getting along. I said, well, I'm doing pretty well. I didn't say I believed him or disbelieved him or anything of that nature. And, of course, he went on with some other things that I don't want to get into here because it's not profitable. Amen. But to show you The enemy is still alive and well, but he's powerless. I told you I'd tell a dream, and I think right here it may be just the right time to tell it. I was over in the Virginia, West Virginia, and it was, last week or week before last, something other, last weekend, okay. And yes, that's when we did the messages on Melchizedek and so forth. Hey, man, I was over there. I didn't say about the dream there in the sermons or anything of that nature. But the night before I preached, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was on a motorbike. And I've never rode a motorbike very much. So, I was going, here comes somebody on a bigger motorbike. And the guy that was sitting on the motorbike, he had a black trench coat on. How many knows what a trench coat is? Big long coat come down. And a hood, a black hood over his face. A hood that came out. And like you didn't see his face. And he came up through there. And I was going up there. And he tried to knock me all out of the road. Well, I had no reaction. I just got straightened up and went on. Well, he turned back around and came back around again. Revving his motor up and all like that. Hey, man, then he went on, see. Now woke up. Well, that could be none other than Mr. Death. A powerful creature in his own rights, but not when it comes against the power of God, see. Amen. And wouldn't be the first time that I have had experience on those rim. But the point is, he tried to knock me over, but I didn't fight with him. I didn't choose to fight the time. I didn't choose at that time to fight. Amen. And in the dream, I knew pretty much what was taking place, what was going on, and all. But that's why the title of the message, see, Paul chose, instead of going on and get all these goodies heaped up on his head and live the life of luxury. in the new kingdom without any problems or anything like that. He said, it's better for me if I get for myself personally. It would be better if I went on, but for your sake, I'm going to stay. It's better for me to stay to further your joy, your faith, and these things, see. And thank God, Paul. I appreciate you. Amen. And the thing is, the death angels tried to get me to fight with him. Well, I choose not to fight with him at that time. Although I know he's a defeated being. Although I know that Christ gives us power over all the powers of our enemies. Amen. And I knew that in all probability that it probably wouldn't be an equal fight if I wanted to fight with him, because he that's on my side overcame death through Melchizedek, and the same one's on my side, he's the one there in the garden that overcame death also, but turned around and died that we could have power to overcome death too. In the book of Hebrews, he said he tasted death for every man that we wouldn't have to taste death. So what I'm saying, there's great promises laying before us. Amen. And sometimes when great promises are laying before us, it's a time of danger too. Amen. It's time to be sane, sober, sensible, and not lose your head over something and to just stay steady, see. Amen. And watch the word as it unfolds itself. Now the word's unfolding itself to a point now that we've come through the two stages of the spiritual coming to the Lord. But the last, Paul doesn't even deal with it. The first two in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, he only deals with a trumpet, the last trump. See, Thessalonians, the Lord himself sends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, which has to do with Israel. You get that in Daniel Revelation 2. And we know that Brother Raymond Jackson, he brought and explained what Israel was through Brother Raymond's shout. And those are things that we've come through. And the seven thunders was cleared up, and Christ came and he gave us that pot, golden pot of manna, or the little book. See, the book of redemption in heaven, but he didn't bring it all down to you because it's not for you at this time. It's just like when Jesus preached the word. He said, I have many things to say to you, but it's not quite time. Amen. How many knows? That's I got a note here in the Bible on that somewhere I could look up, but I don't want to stop. We had it the other week. And even in the disciples said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to us at this time? That's Acts chapter 1. He said, no, it's not for you to know the times of seeing. But that said, the Father has that in his own power. Amen. There are certain things the Father has in his own power, and it come to you as he's ordained it. Amen. There was no way that we could preach a message overcoming death as long as you're in the first two parts of that message, because it's the trumpet message. Paul said that is when the dead would rise and the living be changed. Yeah. Amen. And the Bible says all that's in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of God as he come forth. And they'll come forth, see. And we see them in Hebrews chapter 12. If you'll go to Thessalonians, and this is the adding on, you'll probably want to hear this again to get these scriptures here, because I'm sure you're not going to get them all placed in, maybe, just on this one go around. There in Thessalonians, he said, God's saying Jesus, and, he'll bring with him those that are sleeping in the Lord. Those that are dead in Christ, he brings with him. Well, who does he bring with him? He bring those theotomies that Paul saw when he went to heaven. He said we have Paul said, if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved. And get that word if. Says, we have a building already reserved for it'll be reserved in heaven. Well, he said Christ brought it down with him when he came. Amen. And that's where Paul prophesied and showed us that we come among them. Amen. The spirits of just men made perfect. He said, that's New Jerusalem. Can you say amen? So that's the time, the place. Amen. And we choose to go with this when the time come and everything begin to fall in place. You can't, in order to help God, thy will be done on earth is in heaven. See, in order to help God, you don't change his will. You got to get in time with his work. It has to be timely. It has to be in season. And it has to be what Christ is saying, the anointing of God for the time. See, I choose not to fight. And who could... Now, this was... Last night was... What was last night? Some kind of holiday where they dress up and do all kind, look like devils, act like devils. A lot of them do. But Halloween, yes. I was about to say Valentine's Day, but that's on down the road a bit. It's Halloween. Well, if you look up something like the scary something, hey, that's scary. Someone with a black coat, trench coat, it comes way around, wind blowing it out, and a black hood over his face trying to knock you out of the road. Amen. Glory to God. See, let it go. Choose your time. See, that's why choosing the time and place to defeat death, your last enemy. Amen. It has to be just on time, see. Amen. It has to be when God say now, and that's what God's doing now. He's bringing us into it. He's getting our mind geared into it. And Paul said, I could go now, but it would be better if I choose to stay with you. Nevertheless, I choose to stay with you for the furtherance of your joy and faith. See, God ain't going to let one man get out here with faith to be translated. And I'm not claiming faith. I only have what he gives me, see, just like you do. Amen. In the body, those baptized in the body, there's one faith, one Lord, Amen. And we're many members. Amen. Barbara brought something to when she was typing on some of the message, and she thought came to her, and she, my wife Barbara Jean, she got that where Satan, that man was possessed with many demons. Now I don't know what a legion is, but I think it maybe it's a large number. I think you'd get some legion of armies, legion of soldiers, and so on and so forth. It wouldn't be a few. It wouldn't be a handful, we'd say. It'd be many. But that one man, he was one body, but he had a legion of demon in him, so his name was Legion. My name is Legion. He told Jesus, for we are many. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you right now, you legion, you're going to come out and set this man free. They said, now wait, Lord, if we come out, they said, there's a herd of swines over there. Can we go? And I don't know, large herd, so it must, I don't know how many went in these swine. Amen. But I want to ask you this question. What was those Jews doing there with them swines to begin with? Well, it's not too far fetched to say they were bootlegging bacon, ham meat, you know. And Jesus broke up the bootleggers. Amen. They all ran into the sea and were drowned. But there's one body. Amen. It's the body of Christ, and there's many members, and there's one name. Amen. And there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Amen. And it's the body of King. Amen. It's Jesus sent that same Christ that was in him back to earth in Revelation chapter 10. Not a person. When I say Christ came, I'm not talking about Jesus coming. He's not going to come till after the millennium. See? But then we're baptized into that body. Hallelujah. And then that's when, and only then, watch, you got to choose your time and place. Only then do we pass Ephesians 4:13, where it says, you've got all these other things, till we come to, what's the word says, fullness, to the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. And then it says, right then and there in that scripture, that we will no longer be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and said we'll speak the truth in love, and we'll be like Paul was about choosing to stay. Nevertheless, I want to stay with you. The Bible says that we begin to edify one another in love. That's the body of Christ. That's the one that's not going to die. Amen. Now watch here. I'm going to... can you keep me in on what I forgot to look at any time? Okay, good. I can do this then. Let's go to a scripture that I'm thinking of here in the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. And I'll get a couple of 3 verses here, because it's important on it. Romans, 3. I'm sorry, Romans 6, that's where I was, Romans 3 there. Okay, Romans, the 6th chapter. And I want to bring something in about baptism, what's it for, and so on, etc. Jesus said there that we didn't cover in the message on Melchizedek and all that. We didn't, the time wouldn't permit us on that particular sermon series. The Bible said, let us leave. Now, I'm going to quote this before I read. I'm going to read 6 and 1 through 7, I guess. And this in the 6th chapter of Romans. But I want to say this here. Amen. And maybe I ought to read this first. If I get going that way, it might not get, so let me just back up and just go ahead and do what I said. I got your turn, so I don't want to hold you. It's in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll begin verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now he's saying that about the law showed sin, so on and so forth. And then he goes on and he brings in there that where sin does abound, grace does much more abound on like that, which I'm not going to read that here because... But verse 2 says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And that's why Paul, even Paul himself said this. I die daily. How many knows he said it? Amen. In other words, when you get up in the morning, it's a new day. I'll tell you something else about that new day too. There's no mistakes in that day. When you get up. Any mistakes, it'd be in the evening or sometime during the day. But you get a brand new day with no mistakes in it. Hey, I like that part. But he said, he that is dead to sin, how is he going to live in sin? Well, you don't, he's talking willingly, of course. You don't willingly sin if you're dead to sin. You got Christ in you. You don't willingly do something that would, hey, this is sin, but I'm going to do it anyway. No, that sets you back. And you don't want to be set back in this hour. And then verse 3 says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now I want you to associate two words here, baptism and death. And baptism and resurrection. Now I want you to notice. Now when you come out of that period, then that's where Paul said you go with your baptism, you got all this. He said, now go on. You've had that. That's Hebrews chapter 6. All right. Then verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ died, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that is putting it over in the spiritual realm too. Here, verse 5, for if we have been glorified together in his likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, when you talk about the resurrection, then Paul puts us beyond dying and resurrecting. Amen. Under the sounding of the trumpet, because the last enemy, death, will be destroyed in the wife of the Lamb, because there's a people that will watch the dead rise. And I'm going to make a beeline to St. Paul. Amen. And give him a big hug. And thank him for how he stood and what he brought to us and for what he contributed by obeying Christ to where we're at today, say. Amen. For doing the heavy lifting, if you please. All right. Verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin. That's talking the natural. But now, the verse I really want you to notice here is verse 5. For if we have been planted together in his likeness, amen. That's taken to the water, plant them in the name of the Lord, or however it might possibly be. And like we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, now here when we come to the what Paul preached about, we which are alive and remain, burial and resurrection, then that fits in another frame, time frame. Amen. Because this is the time of the sounding of the trumpet. Now, you might say, Brother Howard, I'm not willing to go there. You get it? Well, the thing is, you don't go anywhere unless God leads you by His Spirit and give you revelation. Now, if you would please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians 15 chapter again. I'm going to try to close out on this. There's so much of this that... I get started laying stuff out that sometimes I'll get a little more than perhaps I can deal with. But even that's good because it whets your appetite. It puts something in your hand. You say, I need to study more on that. Hey, let me dig into that and get a little more. See, a lot of times when I preach a message only with your appetite to get more, think more, to pray more, and to be sure, amen, have a sure hope, sure and steadfast on that solid rock you stand. Now, I'm back in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'll just read the verse here, 29. Now, I'll read this because the sister wrote me, I believe, and asked me about it. And I'm going to say this. Don't mean to be critical of any person's religion or anything, but yet I am. But it was a Mormon. They teach that if you... I've got the books on, you know, and so forth. If you have parents or loved ones and so on that have died and weren't baptized, then it's incumbent upon you, when you see truth, to go be baptized for them, because they need that baptism, see. Well, I'll tell you how people can take a scripture. Well, he was in the 1830s, along there, 1820s or so. That's kind of understandable. But what not understandable is this, is the people that have followed. Why haven't they heard truth and move out of that? I had a Mormon young man come see me, oh, how long it's been, a few months back, and he began to tell me something. I said, hey, just stop. Let me pick up your story right here and tell you. And I began to tell him the story, and he said, oh, so you've been around the block a time or two, ain't you, or something to that effect. Amen. But the point is, and God has let me read and study and know a lot about it, but here's one of their famous scriptures. Be baptized for the dead. So a sister wrote and asked me, I believe, either in person, but she says, she worked for some Mormons, that's what it was. They own a fried chicken place. And they were trying to convince her that if she got loved ones, she needed to get baptized for them, you know, et cetera. And so, anyway, she wrote me and asked me about scripture. But here's scripture she asked about. This is verse 29 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 29. Paul's talking about he said, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? Now, I want you to notice this, talking about baptism and death and rising. Well, that's simple, it as simple as it can be when you take the word and look at it right. Amen. That's what water baptism is conducive. Will give us that's what the idea is. Death, burial, resurrection, see. And that has been a trend through time. Not always. Sometimes they sprinkled and sometimes they did different things because they were in that time. But once you reach the place where the trumpet began to sound, Paul said, leaving those things, the principle of doctrine, baptism, and so on. And I love one scripture Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe it's about verse 17 or 18. He said, God didn't even send me to baptize. Said he sent me to preach the gospel. But when he came in under the Jewish custom, so naturally they were baptized in the name of the Lord there, like said, the Pentecost. Amen. So they came on, and in that day they were to die, be buried, and resurrect in this hour. See, because that was typical. See, if the dead don't rise, see, someone's saying dead, I don't know if the dead's going to rise or not. No. He said, if the dead's not going to rise, then why in the world are you baptized for the dead? See, that's what Jesus said. Like as Jesus was dead and buried, said, you'll be buried in his likeness and so forth and brought forth. See, it has to do with the resurrection. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go on. There's a lot more to that. But I'm going to just pick up with verse 42 of this. And I'm going to read down here to verse 51, and then there's a lightning bolt going to strike. Amen. It changed the tenor altogether. Amen. And begin to talk about something else has nothing to do with death, has nothing to do with burial, and it has nothing to do with resurrection. And it said it will take place when the last trumpet are sounding. Now the question is, what is the last trumpet and is it sounding? A man called me from Texas the other day. Well, I shouldn't say Texas, but that's all right. Called me and he says, Ben, when do you think the trumpet's going to sound? You know? How long will it be before the trumpet starts sounding? I said, what you're hearing right now is the trumpet sounding. Amen. He didn't have any comment, but he didn't break fellowship. So evidently, I guess it gave him some thought to think about. Here's what it says, verse 42. For so, now notice my title, choosing the time and the place to defeat your last enemy, death. Amen. All right. Verse 42 says, he's talking about resurrection and so forth. Notice here he says, if the dead don't rise, then why be baptized for the dead? That's verse 29. And then I want to, he goes through, there's different kinds of glory for the stars and different kind of glory. But I want to, since time is getting on, I'll go with verse 42 again. Start. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now what? It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Now, that's a good thing to think about. And far as I know, this message is the only one that I ever heard ministered that brings forth the thought, amen, that death purifies the old body. Amen. Can you say amen? I know they used to say, oh, this fella, he smoked, or this fella, he'd have him a little drink every once in a while, and this fella, and this lady over here, she's a good woman, but she sure did like to dip that snuff. Well, I'll tell you this, if you lived in the mountain, almost every farmer chewed tobacco. Amen. I'm talking not too many years, 50, 60 years back, so I'm old now, 50 years back. And almost every lady of the house, wife, she used snuff. And usually the young ladies, once they were married and get started, they started using snuff. The guys was chewing the tobacco, and I worked on a construction job, and everybody had to have their little pouch of tobacco. And then on the ball, they stopped that now, I think, mostly. But the ball players, the batters, and Doug knows that he watched ball game. And they'd always chew on that tobacco. Have you ever watched any of these ball games a few years back? Everybody, and the young fellows that wanted to get in, they'd try to chew them tobacco, make them look like the guy out here. But now we've moved a step further than that, and I thank the Lord for that. It was a good movement. Verse 43 says, it is sown in dishonor. It is raised in power. It is sown in weakness. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power. I'm talking about the body of those that had a soul, had a heart beating within them of gold. Oh, I never did have to have anybody sign nothing or anything working with the people I've grown up with. The word was their bond. And if they couldn't fulfill it, they'd be knocking at my door saying, hey, I know this was a deal, but something happened here. I had a sick child and had to go to the doctor and they couldn't do this. Amen. And usually we'd say, hey, just let it go. Then whenever you can get to it, you know, like that. But that's the heart of the people. And those, they died that way. Amen. They're going to come up. How many knows it? And that body is going to be come up in a perfect body in power, not in weakness. Amen. And then verse 44, somebody help me get hurried here. Amen. Ring a bell or something, say you, time's running out. All right, verse 44. It is sown a natural body, and that's what we are. It is raised the spiritual bodies. It'll be one just like Jesus. John said to have a body like unto his own. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. We got both within us at the same time. Now, when he comes, he ain't going to bring mine back. I got a call, I guess yesterday, the day before. Man says, Ben, are you saying what's going to happen to me? You saying that he's not going to bring the living theotomies down with him. What's going to happen to me? I said, it's in you. And I said, that's why we present our bodies a living. He said, hey, that makes sense. Well, that's what it's supposed to do because it's the truth. Supposed to make sense. So it was sown in that body. Verse 45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. This is comparing the Lord and Adam, the natural man and the spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which was natural. Talking to Adam and Christ, Jesus. And afterward, that which is spiritual. And also fits exactly within our framework of what we're saying. And then it goes on, verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. I don't know if the earthy with a Y seems like it ought to be something else, but that's what King James. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And Paul goes through all this. He must have been a bit long-winded like himself. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And we have, as we have borne the image of the earthly, that's what we're doing now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. In other words, Paul is saying, what you're seeing is only half the picture. There's a heavenly body. And just as you're bearing the image of this earthly, you're going to bear the image of the heavenly. Then he goes to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, there had to be a change. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. See, in other words, that does go away completely through the grave and so on like that. Amen. What he's saying here in flesh and blood, it's not going to be. Let me read that. I say that flesh and blood shall not inherit, not this sinful flesh. That's why we got to be changed. See, he said you'll be changed. Now watch. What is he talking about up to verse 51? And I could say a little more there, but I tried to hurry and hope we got it all. But you can always read. But now watch. Bam! All of a sudden he changed completely. Totally and absolutely, he changed and start talking about something else. And he brings us to the time that the last trumpet began to sound. Choosing your time and place. Amen. To defeat your last enemy, the devil. Now here's your time and place and message. Amen. That will totally defeat and brings up the dead. Amen. Watch verse 51 says, now watch, he's dealing with something entirely different. Entirely different from what we've been dealing with. Death, burial, resurrection, so on. Now watch. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. Okay, bring it on. We shall not all sleep. And that's why Paul used the word sleep and death sometimes. Interchangeable. We shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed. Now, watch it. This is totally a new, in the saying here in America, we say, now we're in a total new ball game. The old rules don't apply here. Amen. We're not in at the end of the ninth inning, we're at the beginning of the first pitch, say. A total new ball game, see. The trumpets begin to sound. There's a message coming forth. And it fits exactly with what Paul said. He said if a trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who's going to be able to prepare? He laid the trumpet down and we pick it up and we carry it on and keep right on blowing. Oh, now watch this now. We'll be changed. And not only tells that, he tells us how. He tells us when and he tells us how. My voice is getting gone, and you say, I'm glad because it's getting time for you to hurry. No, I'm getting some goodies here. That'll be good because we're not talking about death, burial, resurrection, baptism, keeping church rules, or communion, or anything of that nature, foot washing. No, Paul said, go on. There's perfection for you, all right? In verse 52, it says here, we'll be changed. He said, way it'll happen, when this thing starts, you ain't got ready to go tell your grandma you're leaving. He said, when it starts, it'll be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And said, here's when it's going to happen. He says, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Do you see it now? Amen. There Satan is the death angel. He has no power. He's defeated. We take him on and we win. Amen. Because it's timely. Glory to God. So we pick our times for a fight. Amen. And now's the time we want to begin to build up our spiritual muscle. Because he is a formidable adversary. Amen. I say that from past experience and so on. Amen. But watch, verse 53 says, for this corruptible, that's the body we're living in, plus those that are resurrected, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Now, he's not saying a word in the world about being baptized for the dead and being dead like as Jesus died and was buried, you go be baptized and you'll resurrect too. Amen. And he's not saying you go be baptized for some of your dead relatives. Amen. Can you say amen? We've moved on from that. Now watch what he says here, verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then, and that then is now, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, he's not talking about going to the grave. He's not talking about going to the river to get baptized for the resurrection, say. Amen. He's saying now death has been swallowed up in victory. In other words, has no power over us. Melchizedek proved it could be done. But Melchizedek wasn't even slothful about it. He got serious when he met this formidable adversary. Although he was a man that God created to make this work out, amen, it wasn't to be a permanent being, it was Christ in Melchizedek, he fought and won. The Bible says he offered up strong cry and was heard in that he feared. Amen. And didn't die. He had neither father nor mother beginning of day nor end of life. And I'm telling you today, you have neither father nor mother nor beginning of day nor ending of life in the spiritual realm. You were there with him from the foundation of the world. If you can believe the scripture, and Paul said it, so you got to have a lot of confidence in Paul. Not written anywhere back behind this, but you got to have a lot of confidence in Paul. He said that you were with him before the world was. He put your name in the book then. Amen. He paid for it then. And even the Lamb was slain when? From the beginning of the world, God looked at everything has to come through the slain Lamb at Calvary. Oh, what a guff God did span at Calvary. Amen. The sign keep waving at me, so that means get on it here. Okay, death swallowed up in victory. Then here are those that are down there, Paul and all the rest of them. Thank you, Paul, for going on with your group, even though you could have. You chose to do it. Thank you for it. That was courage, and I admire you. Then hear what they're saying as they hear me preach today. Oh, death, where's your sting now? Oh, grave, where's your victory? We're moving around like the valley of dry bones begin to move when they heard the word. Amen. They begin to move around, and finally they stood up on their feet as an army. the restoration of Israel. Ezekiel 37. Now, this is not the restoration of Israel, it's the restoration of the wife of the Lamb that's gone to the grave. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? It ain't got none. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law is sin, but we're not under the law of sin and death. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain. Oh, I had so much here today, but this is gonna do it for today. Amen. Do you love Him with all your heart now? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you now. I pray, God, that you'll take these words, that you'll use them for your glory, Lord. And may they come, go to the place you've ordained. May they just settle down in the hearts of the people, that they'll have new hope, that they'll have new zeal, they'll have a new vision. And they'll say, this thing is possible. This is real. This is not finesse, and this is real. This is the Word of God. As the trumpet sound, it's coming into being. Oh, God, I pray that you'll bless each one. Bless your wife. And thank you for clothing her in fine linen, clean white, which you gave her a revelation of the righteousness of God. That's not her righteousness, but it's your righteousness that you've given her. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. God bless you today. Praise God. Praise God.